that which is unknown and unknowable about God, except that God has revealed those things to us. And so when we talk about how we got our Bible, first we have to realize that God has revealed himself to us, and he did that in the pages of the Scriptures. You know, it's one thing for someone to receive revelation, but that's, you know, that might have been good for that person. Paul says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. But I'm glad he also went on to say, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So it took not only God to reveal his word, it took God then to give us the Scriptures. And although we have talked about the word Scripture, we're emphasizing now that the revelation became Scripture through a process that's called inspiration. And so we refer to this verse just to talk about Scripture, but now there's another statement that's made in the verse. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. So that we do have Scripture. We understand Scripture is the written word of God from previous study. But how we got that written word of God is that all Scripture is given by inspiration. And inspiration, actually, when you look in the Word, it's not so much in the Word, it's how the Bible talks about inspiration. There's two real important verses that we'll look at. We started to look at it last week and got sidetracked and ran out of time. But inspiration means the words that came out of the mouth of God. So the word actually, it has to do with God breathed. And it's not just like his breath. It's God, it's out of the very mouth of God. The Scriptures, the written word of God, came out of the mouth of God. It's God breathed. And the one verse that really kind of says it is a verse you're probably familiar with, but go back there to Matthew chapter 4. And it says in verse 4, and he answered and said, it is written, and this is Satan tempting him about turning the bread, the stones into bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that when he says every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, if all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Scriptures are the words that came out of the mouth of God, and God gave those Scriptures by inspiration out of his mouth onto the page of Scripture. And there's a reference there to the very meaning of inspiration out of the mouth of God. And in case you need reminded, this passage in the same, not in Matthew, but as it's recorded in Luke, is actually left out of the new translations. They actually say when Satan tempted him, it said, the Lord answered and said, man shall not live by bread alone, period. But didn't say how man should live, and that is by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And, you know, and really what's, why in the world would they put it in Matthew and then leave it out of Luke? You know, wouldn't it tell you that he said both parts? You know, why would you think it doesn't belong there and leave it out? But that's what they've done, and that's why, as we are talking about how we got our Bible is the King James Bible, and believe it to be accurate, reliable, authoritative, and without error, because that's what God's intent was, to give us his word, and God's word is always true. So anyhow, but it came by inspiration, and it's out of the mouth of God. You know, a verse that I referred to, but since you're in Matthew, look at chapter 24. And it's really kind of hinges on what we were talking about, the canon of Scripture. The Lord, in all this passage, is talking about future things. And we said that the Holy Spirit would come and tell the apostles not only things that the Lord had said, but show him things to come, and certainly hear something the Lord said about things to come. But after he tells him about all the details, he said in verse 35, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And, you know, sometimes people try to interpret that to say that heaven and earth shall pass away, but what Jesus Christ said, that won't pass away, that'll be fulfilled. But when he said, my words shall not pass away, well, the only way we know what his words are is that they've been preserved in Scripture. And I always go to verse 15, just you know exactly God's intent concerning Scripture and preservation. I'm getting really into preservation. I don't need to be there right now. But verse 15 says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, parentheses, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let the God-inspired, the Holy Spirit-inspired, out of the mouth of God, Matthew to write down that parentheses, knowing that the people who live in the future are going to read that, and God wants them to understand, and that the words of Jesus Christ will never pass away. So they're going to be not just words that he said, they're words that were written down so people can read it in the future and know what's taking place, because these words are true. As when you read the book of Revelation, that's what the angel keeps saying. Write these things down. These words are true. These words are true. Write them down because they're true. Well, they're not only written down because they're true, they're written down there because they're true and preserved for someone to read later. So, but anyhow, I'm just anxious to get into preservation, I guess. But so anyhow, that's the Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is a word that explains what it means to have the Scriptures inspired. They came out of the mouth of God. So when we talk about Scripture being inspired, we're talking about, we believe in verbal plenary inspiration. That's how the theologians lay it out. But the reason we say it that way is verbal, meaning every word, the word and words in Scripture are the word and words of God. Welcome back, Bob. You've been away for a while. But so that verbal means every word written down here is the word of God. Plenary means it's complete in every respect. That is, it's full, it's absolute, it's unqualified in power, authority, and in canon. We believe in verbal plenary inspiration. Every word that's in here, it came out of the mouth of God and is the word and words of God for us, and it's complete, authoritative, accurate, reliable. Every way you can say that, that's what you mean by plenary authority. So come now to where I told you to go last week and we never got there. First Peter. Again, a passage that we've looked at before under Scripture, but now we're looking at it with the thought of the Scripture came by inspiration of God. This is an interesting passage. It's 2 Peter. No notes. I knew it was supposed to be on the left-hand side of the page, and it wasn't, so. Do you remember the passage? I can hardly stop, but I was going to go to verse 20, but I just make sure that you remember we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, and that in verse 15, when Peter writes and says, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. I mean, I hope it just jumps in your mind as clear as it is in my mind that the endeavor that he's talking about, I'm endeavoring to write this stuff down so that when he dies, it'll always be here. Man, what a verse about preservation there, huh? But we're looking at it now with inspiration, because what he's going to write down is not just going to be his words, they're going to be the mouth of God. Out of the mouth of God, it's going to be what he write down. And he says it this way, and by the way, the previous is talking about we have a more sure word of prophecy. And then he says, in verse 20, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So it wasn't just some man's thought. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, I look at that and I see that word spake, and I'm trying to talk to you about Scripture written down, came out of the mouth of God, inspiration, breathed. And but he said they spake by the Holy Ghost. But notice verse 20, what an interesting statement. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture. So he's not just talking about what someone spake. What someone spake got written down and becomes prophecy of Scripture, not just prophecy from David, and not just prophecy that they spake by the Holy Ghost. But if they spake it by the Holy Ghost and wrote it down, the Holy Ghost caused them to write down the things that he wanted them to say, and so they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, moved not only to speak it, but moved to write it down, and that the words written down were written because of the moving of the Holy Ghost in these men. And therefore, the prophecy becomes prophecy of Scripture. So there's when you talk about inspiration, out of the mouth of God and down onto the page of Scripture. And how did that happen? Well, God used men, as it says in this passage, holy men, to write down exactly what he wanted written down. And that's where I'm not going to repeat it all, but it's absolutely amazing when you think about it. The personality of all the different writers of the Bible is there in their books. God used Matthew to write about the kingship of Jesus Christ, Dr. Luke to write about the manhood of Jesus Christ, the theologian John to write about the deity of Jesus Christ. And so he's using men and their personality with their talents, their interest, and yet using them to put the very word that he wanted, not the word they wanted, but the word that he wanted down there. He used certain men to use their personalities to write down the words that he wanted written down concerning prophecy of Scripture, or the word, what God would have us to know about him, the revelation. And so that's what inspiration is. It's just an amazing thing that God would do that. But don't ever attribute, and sometimes we do it too much, Paul said, you know, I appreciate your understanding when I say that. The Holy Spirit said through Paul, you know, Jesus Christ revealed to Paul. But God did use these men, and especially Paul in a certain sense different than the other apostles. That's why his Scripture is different than the other Scriptures, Peter says. Go back to the Old Testament. Look at just these passages of Scripture concerning inspiration. Exodus chapter 4. Now this is where God calls Moses, and Moses begins to lay out several excuses why he's not the man for the job. And one is that he wasn't eloquent of speech, and therefore, you know, God should call someone else. Since I said that, I'll start with verse 14. And it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron, the Levite, thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do." So here's words in the mouth. What words are in their mouth? Well, the words God gave Moses, Moses is going to take his words and put it in the mouth of Aaron, and then Aaron's going to speak God's word. But it's the words in the mouth are the words that God wants spoken. You know, it's interesting. I'd have to look at it again. But when you look at Pharaoh standing before Pharaoh and casting the rod down, sometimes you can't figure out who's talking, Aaron or Moses. And the reason why, by the way, that's exactly, if you ever read the book of Isaiah, And all of a sudden Isaiah's talking, and then he says, I say unto you, thus say, sometimes it says, thus saith the Lord, but sometimes you don't say, thus saith the Lord. He just says, he's talking in the present, but it's then you realize the context is not the writer Isaiah, it's God speaking. Because the words that these men have in their mouth are the words of God. And it doesn't matter if Aaron said it or Moses said it, it's God's word. It doesn't matter if it's coming out of the mouth of Isaiah, whether he prefaced it with, thus saith the Lord, or he just started talking, it's the Lord's word that's coming out of his mouth. And that's what inspiration is. So anyhow, you see how the words got put in mouth there. Jeremiah chapter 1. You still got Exodus 4? I underlined something that I made sure that I wanted to read to you, and I didn't do it. Oh, if you have Exodus 4, I should have read to you verse 16 for the emphasis of the statement that I'm making of that being God's word. If you're not there, just listen, we just talked about that God is going to put the words in Moses' mouth, Moses is going to put it in Aaron's mouth, or God's going to teach Moses what he shall do. But then verse 16 says, and he shall be, that is Aaron, shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even as he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. That's about why. So Aaron, when he opened his mouth, Aaron is nothing but a mouth of Moses. And because Moses is speaking God's word, Moses is like a god. Well, but he's not God, right? He's like a god in that whatever Moses said, that's God's word. And because Aaron's going to be a mouth that's going to say it, he's Moses' mouth saying God's word. What a definition of inspiration when it gets written down on the page. That's what it is as well. Jeremiah chapter 1. That's what God tells Jeremiah here, verse 9. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said, the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So, is the book of Jeremiah inspired of God? Not only the spoken word of Jeremiah, but the preached word of Jeremiah is that. And, you know, it reminds you, you don't probably need to turn there because we've seen it so many times, but how the Bible ends, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, if any man add to the words of the prophecy of this book. See, it's not just the prophecy of the book, it's the words of the prophecy, because those words, Jesus Christ is communicating to his servant John the things that must shortly come to pass, and he did it through words, and the words are the words of God, so don't add to or take from the words of the prophecy of that book, because you'd be taking away from God's word. That's the scripture is the written word of God given out of the mouth of God down onto the page of scripture. Now, look at these. Come to Acts chapter 1. You'll recognize these expressions in several different places of the Bible. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 16... Peter is explaining the days of Pentecost, and he says what's happening there at Pentecost with the men speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit poured out. He says in verse 16, men and brethren, the scriptures, so now that's what's been written down, must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, we're before Pentecost here. This is about choosing the other apostle, Matthias, to replace Judas. Concerning Judas, which was guide unto them that took Jesus. The scriptures must needs be fulfilled, and then which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. See, that matches what Peter was saying over there. No prophecy of scripture of any private interpretation, because what this is, it's a prophecy of Scripture. that someone's got to replace Judas. And the Holy Ghost spake it by the mouth of David, but it becomes scripture when it got written down. So the Holy Ghost speaking by the mouth of David, out of the mouth of God came the scripture. And they're one of the same as you see it in that verse. And the book of Acts ends the same way, Acts chapter 28. In verse 25, it says, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed." Now, Paul's at Rome, and he spoke to the Jews, and they didn't quite agree among themselves whether what Paul was saying is right, so they depart. After that, Paul had spoken one word. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go to this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them." So the Holy Ghost spake by Isaiah the prophet, saying these words. And Paul's quoting scripture of prophecy that the Holy Ghost spake, but is written down and is the Word of God. I had one more here. Can't remember what the verse is. It's not jumping in my mind. Well, Hebrews 3. Let's just trust it to be one more. We don't look up every one, but there are verses that make the point and then sometimes add a little different thought. It's the same thought, but it's interesting how this is done. In Hebrews 3 and verse 7, it says, "Wherefore," now notice the parentheses after the word "wherefore." And notice before I read that the parentheses doesn't end until the verse 11. And then it says, verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest this is going to happen." So, "wherefore," and here's the parentheses, "as the Holy Ghost saith, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, They do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Now that's what was said to a previous generation in Israel. But it's written here that they need to take heed, because as you read down, he's going to say, "Take heed, brethren," verse 12, "lest there be in you any evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily, as it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And so he takes the application of the past, brings it to the forward. But then he prefaced all that, "The Holy Ghost spake, saying," and then he quotes scripture. So the scripture is the Holy Ghost speaking, and that's all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost, not only as they spake, but as they wrote, and what they wrote becomes scripture. One word before we go into illumination. Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Because if Scripture is the Word of God, and men spake the Word of God, and they're one of the same, then you have this testimony in Proverbs 30. It says in verse 5, now remember, verbal plenary inspiration. Every word in Scripture came out of the mouth of God. It's God's Word. And so verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." So the Bible, when God speaks, I mean, how could you add, or why would you want to take away anything from what God said? And certainly you wouldn't. You certainly would be a liar if you add to what God said, or you'd be missing out if you left something out of what God said. But every word of God is pure. If that's and then God gives scripture, and that is the word of God, it's a dangerous thing to start playing around with the Bible and changing things in scripture. As we get to preservation, you can trust that God not only inspired his word, and his word is given by inspiration and is verbally plenary authority, but then has also been preserved. Now, before we get to preservation, there's something else about God's word that I want to cover. We covered about it being God had to reveal it, and then God revealed it by putting it to us, by putting it in writing through inspiration of Scripture. And now there's another process about that, because revelation is God revealing something that's unknown and unknowable. Inspiration is how it gets down onto the page of Scripture so that it's now known and knowable to us. But there's one more step, and that's God wants the word that's written down in Scripture not just to rest on a page of a Bible, but to come into us. And so there's a doctrine called illumination, which is really an important doctrine, because it's not just written down here. God wants the word in here, and there's a process. In fact, as I look at it, there's like four things that are required. But first, go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 23, it's the Lord talking to the woman at the well, says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship God in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Well, we know that God's word is true, and there's God's spirit. But for us to worship God properly, we need to worship him in spirit and in truth, especially the spirit in the sense that the spirit reveals the truth for us. And, of course, we know to rightly divide the word of truth. But that's what God seeks from us. He says in John 6:63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." I just quoted it. Hopefully I quoted it right. 63, yeah. "It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Hebrews 4:12, "The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." The word of God is a living word. So they're living on, they'll always be alive on the page of Scriptures, but their spirit and their life, because they can come off the pages of Scripture and become part of your spirit, and certainly in part spiritual life, because they're living. And so there is a doctrine of illumination. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 3. Paul says in verse 2, he says, "Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ." You always think of epistles as what Paul wrote. He wrote, this is an epistle that he wrote. But what he's writing is that the Corinthians themselves are epistles in his heart, but also epistles to other people, because "for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust we have through Christ to Godward." The Well, as Paul writes and as God's word is ministered and goes into the heart of the people, then we become living epistles to others of what God's word says, what God's word means, what God's word is, the life of God's word. The Bible is the written word of God. But God intends for that written word to God to become living inside and part of our very being, part of our spirit by His Spirit, so that we become living epistles, as that is said. So there is not only the doctrine of revelation and inspiration that gives us Scripture written on the page, but then by the process of the Holy Spirit and us in the Scriptures, allowing the Holy Spirit to do this, the Scriptures get inside of us. And that's what we call illumination. The first thing that's required in illumination is that a person needs to be saved. But I'll save that for next week. And actually, there's as I look at illumination, it's not enough just to be saved. But it's certainly not going to happen until you are saved. But then as I look at Scripture, there's really like four things that I see in there for the Word of God that's written on the page to become written in your hearts and be a testimony to others. And so we'll look at illumination next week, and then finally we'll be off and running on preservation, where you probably expected me to start 6 months ago. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the class, and these doctrines are doctrines that are basic, and certainly, hopefully, understood, and maybe not verbalized, or maybe we're not able to communicate exactly the right way to say what inspiration is. But at the same time, Father, we pray that each person understands exactly what the Scriptures are intended to be to us, your very word and words, and pure words at that. And Father, we pray as we continue to look at that to see two things, how it becomes part of our being, and as well how you intended and did preserve it down to our day, and so that we might understand how we got our Bible. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.